Good morning and welcome to AC23, the podcast of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, where our mission is to foster the creative capacity and vibrancy of the Capital Region through advocacy, resource.
Good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Pam Bordelon, and with me today is Ed Rizika. He is the president of the newly formed Poetry Society of Louisiana. Welcome, Ed.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. Good. We're glad you could join us. So kind of where did this society come from?
Many moons ago, when I first moved to Baton Rouge, there was a very good poet named William Kidd Hathaway, who was at LSU, and he would do things in the community almost constantly. And the community and the LSU English Writing Department was very integrated, and that was very fulfilling and exciting. And that died when he left.
Okay.
And it's gotten more severed as time has gone on. And then we also now have the spoken word poets. And there's relatively little communication and integration between these three branches. And so I wanted to bring it together.
Okay. Right.
And the previous Poetry Society, which had a slightly different name, was the first state poetry society formed, I believe, in 1928.
Oh, wow.
And it died about 3 years ago due to some complications.
Yeah.
So I became aware that it wasn't existing anymore, and it took me 3 years to get things together.
Well, COVID kind of made a lot of stuff go wackadoodle there, so we can understand that. So who all can join? Just anybody?
Anyone who has an interest in poetry. My belief is that poetry is the most essential natural art, along with singing very closely. But that the fact is that as humans, our unique feature is that we make words and put them together, and that I believe that every electrician, everybody in Angola, everybody in the state house, running the legislature, when they were a teenager, they were writing poetry in their room. They might not have shared it with everybody, mm-hmm. anybody, but they realized that it was a unique way to connect with your feelings and your soul. And that if we can reawaken that in people, because poetry is now the most neglected, least cared for of the arts. If there's a way to reconnect people with that and grow poetry, that's what we want to do.
Okay. Yeah, you don't hear a lot of kids, and you say, what are you going to be when you grow up? And they say, poet.
No, one sneak little back idea in the back of my brain that I want to do is to approach a few sites in Baton Rouge, certainly down by the river, and get some chairs and just leave them out there. Just a chair, really, that's called, labeled as the poet's chair.
Okay.
And so that people can sit and watch the river and think, what would I say about this river?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're part of a program called Poetry Out Loud, which is high school students. So we try and foster that here at the Arts Council. We maybe can send you some new members.
We will be glad to, and that's what we want to connect with.
Okay. So how did you get interested in poetry?
I think I always was. I was just thinking because I read the list of questions. I think when I was about 10 or 11, I can remember that I was in our backyard where there was a gravel driveway, and I was shooting hoops, and I started thinking that I wanted to be the voice of the animals and the voice of the vegetation and the rocks and the earth and water. And I would write from the point of view of those things. And I had no reason to be thinking anything like that.
Those are deep thoughts for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, it's something.
So how would you describe your poetry? What is it? You know, does it all rhyme like Dr. Seuss kind
of
stuff?
Oh, no, not at all.
What would you say?
It is modern poetry. So modern poetry is rooted in images which are meant to imprint feeling and ideas. And so I think I belong to the imagistic school. But rhyming is of no importance. What is of importance when I write is a certain musicality, a certain flow and the sound of the word in your mouth, if the poem doesn't give you pleasure in pronouncing it, and you don't have to be aware of that, but if it doesn't, it hasn't, for me, fully succeeded.
Yeah. So as a writer, I know, and the Arts Council just published a book.
I know. I have that book.
You got the short story book. Yeah. Yay, good. So when we were doing, Ronna Gray and I were doing the final edits, we found ourselves reading it out loud.
Yes.
And you find, I had never really done that before. I saw it, sad to say. But it totally changes how the story goes, and you catch things that you probably wouldn't catch otherwise if you didn't get that rhythm and know how it sounds.
That's true. That's very true. And poem, as you said earlier, you know, with the group you work with, a poem is poetry is very much a spoken art. It comes alive. And every poet who writes has heard somebody say to them something about your voice. One of the major arts or ways that we say is one grows in poetry is by finding their voice.
Yeah, I like that quote. I like that. So what is your process to write a poem? I mean, do you just walk down the street and see something and you go, what's the deal? How do you do that?
Before I answer that, I want to go back to the Poetry Society of Louisiana.
Absolutely.
For just a second, because I'm very involved in growing poetry. And so, yes, everyone can join.
Mm-hmm.
Within the next 2 weeks, I believe we will have a Facebook page, which is a group page, so that anyone who's a member can post about any readings they're having. And we will have a website. And on that website, we will list resources for poets. And we will put up books and reviews of books that are by Louisiana poets. So we want to grow the society and poetry.
Okay.
Now, as far as what...
Well, I'm going to hold you up here a second. Because the spelling of Poetry Society of Louisiana is not a normal spelling. So tell people... If they start doing that, they're going to get some old stuff that's no longer valid. So tell everybody how to find you.
It will be, Poetry Society of Louisiana. It is P-S-O-L, but the P will be said silently. So that it's, so when we say our name, it is soul, as in the Spanish word for sun, and then the word for psyche. So we'll call ourselves Soul, but Poetry Society of Louisiana is our official name. We will, within the next few weeks, have a website, and we will be holding reading.
Okay.
We have held some.
Okay, and how do you spell society? Because that's going to be the bugaboo for people. Because when I Googled it, it was coming up as S-O-C-I-A-T-E.
Oh.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
So just regular spellings then is going to find us. Okay,
yes.
Sounds good. So go ahead. You were fixing to go about talking about.
Oh, process. You know, I think the most important thing, if you want to write on a consistent basis, is to have a place and a time. And so every morning I'm in my writing room at 8 o'clock and pretty much stay there till noon. I love to revise because you can't get those sounds I like without coming back at it. And plus, poetry is full of shifts from one moment you're describing a taste to the next moment you're presenting a concept and you have an image for that concept. So there's a lot of movement and shifts, and those have to be reworked minutely if you're going to actually communicate to the reader.
So you've been published in the Atlanta Review, the Chicago Quarterly Review, Rattle, Canary, and a lot of other literary publications. You have published 3 books of poetry, the latest being Squalls. So tell us a little bit about this baby.
Squalls just came out. It's from Kelsey Press, which is a big publisher of poetry, modern poetry. So it's only been out a couple of weeks. I gave a reading down at the what I call the Art Park, the Baton Rouge Gallery. I plan to have readings coming up on May 4th. That's a Saturday at 2 p.m. at Cavalier House in Denham Springs. Okay. I'll be reading down in New Orleans on the 12th at 4 p.m. That's a Sunday at the Maple Leaf Bar. That's the oldest still existing, regularly run reading in the South. The Maple Leaf is famous among poets. And then I believe on April 26th, although we haven't fully firmed up the date, in the evening I'll be reading at the fine local bookstore, Red Stick Reads. So these will be opportunities to come in and see poetry and to sign up for the society. And, of course, I'll be hawking my book here, Squalls, which I am proud to have in my hand.
So aside from coming to one of these book signings, how can people get a copy of this?
Squalls is available at both of those bookstores, and pretty soon it'll be at Conundrum up in St. Francisville, where I also expect to do a reading. Red Stick Reads, if you want to actually drive somewhere and get a copy, that's across from the high school on Eugene. And then in Denham, Cavalier House Books is a fabulous bookstore.
Okay. We don't have that many small little neighborhood bookstores anymore. That's
no,
kind of fun.
No, Barnes and Nobles and Books a Million and Amazon did a number on them. Oh, the easiest way, if you don't want to leave your house to get the book, is to go on Amazon.
Okay, so it is available.
Squalls,
on Amazon.
Ed Ruzicka. You can't spell Ruzicka. Nobody can. but Squalls, it'll come up.
Okay, so would you read us a poem from Squalls?
You got
a couple we can share.
I do these two,
okay,
if I could. Redemption Song, we're right near the river, and this was written in response to a photo that Charles de Gravel, who's a local poet, did. And it's about the river and the homeless people there and the bridge. Redemption Song. The homeless sleep on concrete under the bridge. Look up 70 feet to see the musculature of the river reflected as it weaves on steel beams. Light cannot touch them in their shadows, except when moon sizzles across waves, dazzles into eyes, and lays its web upon the flat slabs of the bridge's buttresses. Songs the homeless know, rain's tempos, dawn in a bird's throat, fluting in arches of possum bones, what the young bring down in restless circles as they trade jibes or go off in pairs to squelch guests under bushes near the river's lapping. Against big odds, homeless sleep with the roar of bullish trucks above, sleep to the gnash of gear on gear, a corridor of air furiously ripped open, tires whine, the baffle of exhaust. It takes a lot to sleep. It's harder now to get the cocktail of booze and meds to write. Once you drift off, you might get lifted back to the place where you grew up along the banks of this river. Cane fields ran and flowed forever. Ribbons off stalks rattled, drenched in wind. Blackbird and crow landed, clung. Dark feathers splayed in strong wind.
Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Thank you. And like I say, it moves a lot, you know?
It flows like the river.
Yeah, we try to make it that way. So this is one more. This is a lot of this book is, fair bit of it, is, about my love of different, say, my wife and my daughters and familial. In poetry, when you are autobiographical, you hope that you are not autobiographical, that you're reaching something that is very essentially human. Mm-hmm. So this is called Pup. My daughter, Miriam, and my wife came upon a blind dog at a public pool that kept wandering into the drink. Big-hearted, they fished him out, ferried him home, swaddled in a towel. Oddly, named the old fellow Pup. Pup became for me a sort of matted rug that ate, shat, and shuffled around for 9 months. When Pup died, I dug a hole in the backyard. In the mornings, pouring coffee, wife in the bedroom zipping her skirt, I'd spy Miriam alone out in the yard, gathering twigs, dandelions, violets. She wandered on half-formed legs, brought death, tiny, inadequate tributes, and sang in a voice so high and soft that to this day I haven't fully recovered. Slowly, as dawn evaporated dew from grass blades, she began to learn how there is nothing anyone can do but sing.
Okay, it's going to take me a minute. So you mentioned your wife and your daughter. How long you been married?
Well, actually, that was a former wife.
That's okay. We all have those. We all have that.
It happens.
If you live long enough, probably you're going to have one of those.
So I've been married 3 years, but my wife and I, Renee, have lived together for close to 20.
Okay. Okay. And how old is Miriam?
Miriam is now up at the university at Penn State, and she is 34.
Wow. Okay. Have she made you a grandpa yet?
No, but my other daughter, Nicolette, who's moving back to Baton Rouge soon, has 2 children and is about to have a third.
Okay. So have those grandchildren inspired you to write some poetry?
Definitely. Oh, kids or something. Yeah. Their attempts to understand the world are often spellbinding. It's often hilarious. But there's a number of poems, at least 3, with grandchildren's in the book. Okay. Grandchildren in the book.
So when you're not doing poetry, what does Ed do?
Not much anymore. I was an occupational therapist.
Okay.
I practiced for many years in the school system in Livingston Parish, and then also worked on the weekends at various rehabs or during the summer. Okay. And after I retired from Livingston, I did part-time work with the Baton Rouge General, and I'm currently on the books of the Baton Rouge General, but I'm just kind of phasing out. Okay. I'm almost entirely, completely retired.
Okay.
And, I'm married. I have my wife and 2 children and 2 grandchildren.
Okay. They'll keep you busy.
They will.
So just because people always ask this question, what does an occupational therapist do?
Well, yes, physical therapy is a lot more famous.
Yeah.
And occupational therapy is a terrible name. It drew out of retraining people who were injured in World War I.
Okay.
Where the first real massive use of real effective heavy artillery ruined many lives. And so originally the therapy was to bring people back to be able to have a job. Now, I would call us functional therapists.
Okay.
Our goal is to help people who have sustained an injury regain the use of their limbs and balance and function so that they can carry out activities, whether that's cooking or raking or typing on the computer. Occupational therapy is very much connected with the use of the hands and the arms, whereas physical therapy is more connected with walking. But because you can't get to the bathroom without walking,
yeah,
we work on that too.
Yeah. Was that a fulfilling career?
It was very much a fulfilling career. I worked not very much with people, say, from 20 to 60, but, you know, in Livingston Parish, I worked with children, and I loved working with children. And then in the hospitals and rehabs, I worked with the elderly. Mm-hmm. And both are very gratifying.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Ed,
and
thanks.
There is a little bit of that in here, too.
Okay. I was going to say, does that creep into the process
it
as
does.
Well? Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I can't wait to go get a copy of your book.
Well, thank you. I should have brought you one.
That's okay. Remind everybody one more time where you've got a poetry reading here in Baton Rouge on the 4th, right? Or in Denham?
It's in Denham Springs.
Denham Springs.
It is a short trip, and that's at 2 p.m. on May 4th. That's a Saturday. And if you haven't been to Cavalier House Books, there is no doubt that that is the finest independent bookstore around. They have built themselves up, and I'm quite proud to be reading there. And then hopefully I'll be reading April 26th at probably 7 p.m. at Red Stick Reads.
Okay.
And down in New Orleans. Okay. On the 12th.
Okay.
At the Maple Leaf Bar. And anyone can find out more about the Poetry Society of Louisiana.
Okay.
Those
readings. The weekend of May 4th and 5th can be a book going to hear authors read, because the Red Stick writers are going to be reading selections from Louisiana short stories at the main library on
okay.
that Sunday afternoon.
Well, I will
so
be there.
From 2:30 to 4, I believe, is the time we're doing that. But you can be a literary weekend for everybody that's listening. Thanks again so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure to meet you. We thank you for joining us this morning for AC23. You can catch replays on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Support for this programming comes from Shell, our generous donors and members. To help us continue programming like this, please consider joining the Arts Council or becoming a donor. Information can be found on our website, artsbr.org. That's artsbr.org.